All right, here we go. Hour number two of The Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. The time is 11:01 a.m. We are broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Make sure to pick yourself up a nice six-pack. You might need a 12-pack on second thought for the Tennessee-Auburn game tomorrow. You're going to want to have them on hand. They're crisp, cool, refreshing, goes down easier than a beer. Trust me, I like it for that reason. Go pick yourself up some White Claw for the game tomorrow. But hey, we're also broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Hello to our radio listeners out there. Also on the podcast will be uploaded moments after the show goes off the air. Hello to our podcast listeners. And last but not least, the Periscope is live streaming right now on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. I need to go retweet that myself. But last but not least, hello to our Periscope viewers as well. Hour number one in the books, gentlemen. Hour number two on deck. Spent a lot of time kind of going through a couple different aspects of the Tennessee game. A little bit about on the field, kind of talking about how some of the rumors are going around a little bit that, hey, this was a really big week for some of the younger players on the team. Maybe specifically some of the younger offensive players. Skill positions, quarterback position. We'll see if that actually translates to the field tomorrow. We also talked about just kind of some of the mindset around Tennessee football right now. That's my question to you out there. Go ahead and tweet us in or give us a call on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 865-546-8200. What is your mindset about this game? Are you rooting for Tennessee because they're wearing orange and that's just where your heart is at? You might be like some of us in the room. Or, man, are you sick of what you've seen? You don't believe that a change is going to come with the remaining outcome of the season if it played out. So, yeah, you do want more drastic measures. And for you, that might mean rooting for your team to lose for a little while. It's the theory of, you know, it's for the greater good. The greater good of Tennessee is maybe to lose in order to be better. Where are you standing on that? I don't know. Give us a tweet. Give us a call. We would love to hear. That was hour number two, though. That's in the books. Hour number two on deck. You guys ready to go?
Ready.
Of course.
Well, how about this? Let's start out with a little opening drive. There you go.
It's like ESP. It's like I felt you were going to say opening drive, so I put the opening drive on for you.
It could not have been better timing. First and foremost, guys, the second former Tennessee NBA players have found a new home in the NBA. Just two nights ago on draft night, Josh Richardson traded from Philadelphia. Oh, from Philadelphia over to Dallas. Welcome. Welcome, Josh Richardson. I would like that jersey. But then yesterday, you have another trade involving a VFL. Oklahoma City announced the trade the day after the draft. Admiral Schofield, our very own, was traded from the Wizards to Oklahoma City along with the draft rights to... Veet. Man, there's a J and a C next to each other. I'm not even going to try. Washington's second-round pick for the second-round pick of Cassius Winston and a 2024 second-round pick. So Admiral Schofield and Josh Richardson have found new teams in the last 48 hours.
Good for them. Chance, I hope it works out.
Which one of them, obviously Josh Richardson better in the NBA right now and going to a better team, but which one of them do you think... Or I guess just what are your some thoughts about either situation? Maybe does either one stand out more to you?
Well, I like Admiral going to the Thunder. It's a good spot for up there. You know, they're trying to build a young core.
I like how he's on this young team. I know he's going to have a lot of competition in the next couple of years. They're going to have a lot of good players coming in, but I think that he is just as talented as anyone they'll have coming in.
There's not many expectations. I hope he'll be able to hold his own. Trying to develop a winning, you know, mindset there. They're building around SGA. That's a good one for him. And I think that for your Mavericks, that's pretty good. They get a defensive stopper, somebody who's long, get out in the wings and stop some of these guys that Luka's not the greatest on defense.
I mean, shout out to Josh Richardson, too, for getting to leave the disgusting city of Philadelphia.
Yes.
So true.
Yeah, that too.
So true.
That too. But I think that's it's a winning situation for both players. I think Josh Richardson was kind of getting lost in the fold in Philadelphia, being behind Embiid, Simmons, and then also Tobias. He's never really going to get noticed like he did in Miami, which got him out of there and got him more money because of all the hard work he put in with the Heat. I'm sure he wishes he still was in South Beach.
Yeah.
But I think that they both are on the come up. Those are good spots.
I do, too. I like both of those spots for Tennessee basketball players. Look, it's fun to have Tennessee basketball players in the league, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We had a long stretch where there were not many to talk about.
Absolutely.
Now it's fun that we have legitimate pieces of the NBA who are talked about names being traded all over the place. You can always point back and say, Josh Richardson, University of Tennessee.
Barnes sends people to the league, and we can talk about it as much as people missed Bruce Pearl at one point. Can't send that many people to league with long careers in the league.
Second down.
Maybe the development's just not there.
I'm sure that I will probably get told I'm wrong for this, but I would like to take an I told you so against all three of you. Taysom Hill. Wow, look at you, two for two, knowing what I'm going to do. Taysom Hill, not Jameis Winston, to start a quarterback.
And they're stupid.
I don't think it's smart, but I said it would happen.
They are idiots. Idiots.
LASIK Jameis, man.
And Taysom Hill is a gimmick. Like, he's a package quarterback. I don't think he's going to engineer you to a win for four quarters.
You know what they're going
to
do? What? Quarterback draw.
Yeah.
Wildcat. Quarterback draw.
They're just going to try.
Read option. Screen pass. Read option.
Fancy Patrick Mahomes plays, but with less success.
Yeah. He's not throwing anything down the field past 40 yards.
You know, I got to wonder, how many times is it that a starting quarterback has ever also started on special teams? Can't think of
that. And his tight end. He's considered a tight end most fancy formats right now. That's not a lot.
Will he still start on special teams, I wonder?
No way.
He's just a gimmick quarterback. It's so stupid.
Why would you put him on special teams if you're going to roll him out at quarterback this week?
No, I don't think they're going to.
It's just idiotic.
They should not be putting him on special teams.
I still don't think he's the starter.
Think this is a smokescreen?
I think that they're just screwing in with the Falcons.
Well, I'm definitely going to take my I told you so on Monday then.
Charlie says it's a smoke screen.
It's a conspiracy.
Again, I'm with you, though. I think I'd let Jameis start. Like, I think I'd let him sling and see what he's got with, coming out of
the new eyes.
Tampa Bay. Well, you got new eyeballs. Maybe that helps.
He can do the twist.
Guys, third down. So this is a story that I'm kind of actively trying to figure out as we go. But this is coming from Ross Tucker of NFL. So, Ross Tucker, he covers the NFL for CBS Sports. But so he quote tweeted a tweet that said, you know, breaking news, the Steelers were not granted exemption to the state's new mask mandate requiring athletes to wear face coverings during games. So Ross Tucker quote tweeted this and he said, are people nationally aware that the Steelers, Eagles, Penn State, etc., and their opponents will evidently be required to wear masks while they are playing when they are in the state of Pennsylvania from now on? That's an interesting twist.
It's kind of absurd.
So it looks like, I guess, when you turn on the next Eagles game, Steelers game, Penn State game, if it's in Pennsylvania, you will legitimately be watching Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Wentz, whoever else, I guess, be wearing a mask underneath their helmet?
I just wouldn't do
it. Well, there's this. The NFL has Oakley face shields for helmets available for players. Those satisfy the NFL's requirements for on-field mask use.
Oh, good. Good.
I just wouldn't do it. What are you going to do, Governor? Are you going to walk out on the field and really have the balls to tell Ben Roethlisberger to go to the sideline and put a mask on? No one would do that because they would be scared to lose elections.
How?
People love the Steelers too much.
It'd be so weird to just... I'm just trying to imagine it right now. Like, I'm very much used to the fact that everyone's, you know, masks are just that's part of normal look now in society. I even turned on was watching Wheel of Fortune yesterday. It rolls over to whatever, you know, cable TV show is next on. And they've even, you know, they've got all the masks in the TV show. Like, they're making social distancing sitcom jokes. I'm like, this is so part of our society now. I'm very much used to it. But it would be very weird to see, you know, again, Ben Roethlisberger with the mask under the helmet. But I mean, it's good to know that
that doesn't even
NFL
make sense.
Sounds like
there's so
face
many
mask.
Things we do that don't actually make sense. It's comical.
And then, here we go, last but not least, fourth and final down, repeating the breaking news from this morning that came out right after we went on the air, just less than an hour ago. Phil Fulmer, athletic director for Tennessee, announces that yesterday he had learned that he had returned a positive test for COVID-19. A second test then confirmed the positive. Phil Fulmer does remain asymptomatic, he says, according to a statement. He says he's feeling fine. He's going to continue to work remotely, adhering to all the CDC, SEC, health department guidelines, all that and above. But, you know, in case anybody's worried about either the Tennessee football game tomorrow or the Tennessee basketball games coming up on Wednesday, no need to fear, at least so far. He says that he has not been deemed to be a close contact with any of the student athletes or sports-specific staff members. So, Phil Fulmer, wish you a speedy recovery. But again, says he's asymptomatic. Obviously, an older gentleman with coronavirus, you tend to be maybe a little bit more worried, but we wish him all the best. But that is the breaking news from this morning.
Yeah, hope for a speedy recovery for Papaw Phil.
Yeah, I think so too. Absolutely. So there you go, a little bit. You know, there were a couple more stories that, hey, we got a couple minutes. I'll throw those around real quick just because there was a lot. There's a lot going on right now. How about this story coming out of the NBA? Klay Thompson, done for the season. So sad. You think the, does this make the Warriors, is the Warriors dynasty just dead in the water now? I mean, this historic dynasty.
I don't think
so. When is that going to happen in Alabama? When is Alabama just going to fall off?
I don't think so, because I think they'll compete this year and probably get back to the playoffs with Steph, D'Angelo Russell, I guess Wiseman,
and
Draymond. But, yeah, they need Klay to be 100% and be the Splash Brothers and be that dominating force. They'll just have to go out and get some more pieces. But anytime you got Steph Curry, I think he makes you that much more competitive, but they need both of them to get back to the finals. And I think a lot of people always were – I felt like Klay was always underrated and underappreciated in that relationship as far as what people – Steph Curry got all the hype, but Klay Thompson, great defender, even better shooter, but a lockdown defender, legitimate, but a great shooter. And he never really got as much credit, I thought – that he was such an important piece for all those championships, that it wasn't just Curry and Durant responsible, you know, for doing that too, but it was Klay, man. I think without Klay, you don't win any of them.
Just off the top of your head, just kind of from what you can pull out of the air, where is he on the all-time best just catch and shoot guys? Is
top.
He top three, top five, top one?
Top. He's up there.
He's the top.
He's up there with, maybe top
maybe,
three.
Maybe it's like
him,
Ray Allen.
Reggie, Ray Allen, him. Like, but sure. Klay Thompson might even be number one, man.
Hard
like the competition level is significantly better in his time of play. But those are the great shooters too. Ray Allen was a slasher and very athletic and dunker and, you know, get his bucket when he first got to the league. Then he had to become that shooter.
Just wait for Duncan Robinson's career to be over, and then we'll see.
Guy also throws. I mean, it's hard to take Steph, you know, out of consideration.
Yeah.
I think most of his highlights are known for just the ridiculous dribbles, and then he just finds a way to heave it.
He finds open spaces. Yeah.
But he is just as good as
anybody.
He's
a great catch and shoot guy too.
Catch and shoot as well.
I mean, I think they'll go down as two of the top five shooters that we've ever seen in our lifetimes.
Like I'll tell you this: I am so bummed about the Klay Thompson injury. And I've never really been a Warriors fan, but I've just, I don't know. I missed the Warriors last year. I really did. I missed the most electric shooting team in the NBA. You kind of felt like, you know, there was a time where whenever you saw the Warriors playing, you knew that you were going to see just an insane basketball offensive performance. It's something that, you know, hadn't ever happened before. This streak that was unlike anything anybody had ever seen before. And then it just...
Good. I'm glad they're done.
I'm not.
I hated them.
I loved it.
Hey, I did not like them.
In hindsight, I loved it. Like, it was one of those things, like, you didn't know what you had until you missed it.
No.
I was I wish we had the Warrior. I wish we had Steph
Curry.
I'm
so glad they're done, too. But, hey, Rick, do we have time for one more story? Because this pretty crazy story just popped up.
Sure, go for it.
former Penn State football player Isaiah Humphreys is now accused that Coach Franklin of telling him to not go to cops and to lie to cops about a fight that he got in with star linebacker Micah Parsons, where a knife was pulled out on Humphreys. Mr. Humphreys said that Coach Franklin came up to him and said, "Don't talk to the police. Micah's a star player, and he makes the money. If he gets in trouble, then you're gone."
James Franklin's going to be gone.
Oh, that's
true.
Yeah,
if that's true.
That's not a good look for a coach that's also 0-3.
I mean, he's 0-3, 0-4, whatever they are.
0-4.
And you couple that with what happened on his way out the door at Vanderbilt, not a good look.
James Franklin, not a good guy. Not a good guy.
Doesn't seem to be the case. Wow, that's a wild story. Guess we'll kind of follow that and see how it unfolds. But that is a little bit of your news stories for the day heading into the weekend. Guys, let's take a quick break right here, come back on the other side, and then kind of get some of these last thoughts on the Tennessee football game tomorrow. Look, Auburn on the menu. It's going to be a big game. Brandon, you gave us a couple of things that, you know, you wanted to see out of this team tomorrow. I don't necessarily think that you're expecting a win by any stretch of the imagination, but at the same time, this can be in some way a productive football team. There's still things that you wanted to see. We'll go over those things that you wanted to see. We'll see if we can add any from anybody else at the table. Coming up next, we'll talk Tennessee-Auburn right here on the Blitz. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 11:23 a.m.
Somebody's going to freeze frame that. It's going to piss me off.
Took me a second to get there. I missed it myself, so if nobody else does,
if they're watching, they got it.
If nobody else does, I will. Hey, if you need something to do a little bit later on today, well, good news for you. I have your plans. Live this afternoon at Food City on Morrill Road, The Drive will be broadcasting their show from 3 to 6 p.m. You can go and hang out with The Drive with Russell, Trey, and the boys over there. Again, they will be at Food City right off of there at Morrill Road from 3 to 6 p.m. today. Go there, hang out, ask them questions.
Not to be confused with Morrill Road, but it is.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Morrill?
Yeah, it's Morrill.
What do I say, Morrill?
You say Morrill every time.
Why can't it be Morrill?
Because the moral You're of the right. story is it. It's spelled a different way if it's the moral of a story. It's like a morel mushroom.
I cannot argue that one. Okay. I think that's going to be the way I remember it now. Now I don't even know. Either way, they're going to be there.
They're going to be there at Food City today with all the Terrapin swag.
Morel?
Yes. Morel Road.
Morel Road, right there, Food City. You can go and hang out with The Drive, but also, in addition to just hanging out with them, man, this show is going to be presented by our good friends over at the Terrapin Beer Company. So while you're over there, you definitely will want to stock up on a bunch of great Terrapin beer for the upcoming game weekend, for Thanksgiving when you got all the family in town. Look, it's some of the best beer you could possibly provide to somebody who is in the legal drinking age. So go pick yourself up some right now, right here today. Food City, 3 to 6 p.m. Go say hi to The Drive while you're there. You can also sign up and register to win some awesome Terrapin prizes, such as this cooler that I'm looking at right here. You have this cooler, don't you, Bryn?
Yes.
Yes. And it is good.
Yeah, bring my lunch in it every day. Not every day, but
most days you do.
Yeah, you do.
Brandon's got the Terrapin swag. And like Rick said, go up there, fill up one of your growlers of one of those six Terrapin beers featured on tap at the Food City Brewhouse. I like Terrapin Watermelon Goza. I know Hop Secutioner is a very popular one. Recreational Ale. That one's also low in calories as well. And also, Terrapin is going to be the title sponsor of Voluntary Reaction this Saturday night on the Fan Run app.
Oh, there you go. So, hey, if you need something to do today, just go head over to Food City off of Morrell Road.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. So while you're gearing up for, you know, going to visit them at Food City today, we're going to pick up some Terrapin beer for tomorrow. Well, you're going to be drinking that beer probably during tomorrow's game. Tennessee-Auburn, here's what everything looks like. Coming up at 7 p.m. on ESPN, you get one of the spotlight games. Tennessee right now in the year 2-4. Auburn is 4-2. Tennessee has lost their last four. You already know who it's been against. Auburn's last five games, they've gone 3-2. Most recently, two wins against LSU and Ole Miss, a loss to South Carolina, a win against Arkansas before that, and then a loss to Georgia before that as well. So
how did they lose to South Carolina?
They are riding a two-game win streak heading into this game. The game is obviously in Auburn, Alabama. And, Brandon, if you could refresh my memory, you gave me three things that you were looking for earlier today in this game tomorrow. What were those?
Yes, my three things. Number 15 under center. HB 15.
Love it.
HB 15, huh?
Number 2. Complete game. Number 3. Make adjustments at halftime.
Those are your three things?
Just a change. I don't even know if that'll get us a win, but just something.
You just want to see them like, hey, they're doing this. Why don't we do this now?
Well, I think that number one could lead to the potential success of number two and number three happening. It could be a chain reaction.
It's like, hey, you're doing this. How about now we give them one of these?
One of these.
All I want.
That's my favorite.
If the good Lord's willing, please, for the love of God, play Harrison Bailey. Your season's out the window. Your season's already out the window. I mean, we know this, but that's your quarterback of the future. That's your building block. That's your saving grace. That's your reason to argue that you still deserve to be the head coach. That's the only thing you have is, I got my quarterback. I need my chance to develop him. Well, start doing that, man. Start doing it. You don't have to put the same guy out there every week. And it doesn't matter if maybe Brian Maurer doesn't know every route concept of every play. I feel like he does, but maybe he makes a mistake here or a mistake there. At least he's out there making them and learning, and you're giving yourself more of a fighting chance because he's better going 100% and maybe making a couple mental mistakes than anybody else we have is on the roster playing safe, scared football. It's just, let him get his chance. There's no red shirt to waste. There's no eligibility to burn. I mean, just let him.
Come on, man.
Be.
That's how you said it.
Something else that I am incredibly shocked by. Maybe not shocked with just remembering some of the recent games that Tennessee has played, but certainly if you had told me this where Tennessee was going to be six games into the season prior, I would have told you there's no way this can happen. This comes from David Ubben, which you can go find on Twitter, at David Ubben, from The Athletic. But here's just three sentences from his most recent article. The offensive line has somehow regressed in pass protection. Last season, Tennessee's passers were pressured on 35% of dropbacks, which ranks ninth in the SEC. This year, that number has jumped to 37%, which now ranks 13th in the SEC. This line has gotten worse at protecting the quarterback in dropbacks, and that sure as hell is not helping the quarterback. I don't even care who it is. But nobody's being helped when the offensive line, who supposedly got better from last year, is playing worse in protecting the most important player on the field in the course of a season. For everything, for all the praise that we gave this offensive line heading into the season, man, you have got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. I want to see smart offense tomorrow. I don't know who the quarterback is going to be running that offense. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if we are going to pound the run like we opened up against Arkansas doing. I mean, you had your way at the beginning of that game, pounding the run. I don't know what they're going to do. But I would like to see some kind of smart offense, something that, hey, at least if we're going to spend so much time talking about next year, Chaney might be back next year. Yeah, at least give me something to think that the offense might look like a decent scheme next year. But, man, the offensive line, do better. Do better. It's not even just a, you know, from what I see. It is the statistics. It is that you are worse at protecting your quarterback than you were last year. Don't let that happen. It's embarrassing. You should be better.
It's sad, isn't it? Brandon over there with LaSalle.
I don't want to be Spin Zone Charlie here again, but
you're always Spin Zone Charlie.
It's okay, Charlie. Spit
that's
it.
Well, we like you.
I just play, looking at this logically, could part of the regression be that the stats last year were a little bit inflated from your four non-conference games now that you're playing all SEC where the pass rush is better?
Yeah, I think so. I think that could totally be a factor, and not even could. I think that probably is. You certainly had, you know, everybody enjoys those games where you can pad the statistics, right? And that probably weighs in, but, you know, then it kind of does, you know, jump back to the eye test. And even if you don't, don't want to necessarily say that, you know, and this is for anybody out there.
I'm not making an excuse for them. For they anybody need out to
there.
Be better.
Yeah, like for anybody out there, if you want to say, you know, well, I don't think they've been that bad, well, then ask yourself, have they been better in any way?
Yeah.
And that's no. That's generously saying no, they haven't been better. And I think that's where the problem lies. There needed to be an improvement. And it wasn't even just, you know, hey, we expect improvement from one year to the next. No, it was you brought in talent. Like, you have rock-solid, experienced pieces. Do better. Do better. Well, here we go, back here on the Blitz, gentlemen.
Shout out to the fish. This is his favorite.
Is it really? No. This one.
Well, it's this one and Paula.
Yeah. Paula Abdul, that was his favorite.
I want you guys to know that you guys got me riled up right now.
Got you a little discombobulated?
No, not discombobulated. Not by any means. Just riled up. Fired up, in fact.
It's time to go ahead and get to our confidence picks. Let you know, confidence picks are brought to you today by Smarter Searches. Smarter Searches is an award-winning digital marketing agency that combines performance and creativity for incredible results. Locally owned and operated, Smarter Searches is Knoxville's top full-service digital marketing agency. Appearing on Google in these times is essential in the success of your business. Smarter Searches offers insight, strategy, and creativity to help you reach your goals. No matter the industry, Smarter Searches has you covered for all of your needs, whether that be, all of your PPC needs, also web design, social media management, and SEO. There's also no outsourcing. Everything is done in-house. They will help your business transition to a more online-focused strategy in a contact-free, touchless world, which we live in more than ever now. Their approach to focus is on marketing strategy around understanding the customer first, setting aggressive and attainable goals, and creating authentic marketing and advertising pieces that drive profit for your business. Visit SmarterSearches.com today.
Confidence picks and predictions.
That's it.
It's lonely at the top. I want you guys to know that.
I love the Family Guy episode where they play it the entire.
And he's like, ding, 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 ding.
You know which episode I'm talking about.
I know.
It's so good.
All right, here we go. Let's pick these games, fellas. Let's go ahead and start with college football. Just like always, first game on the menu. Number 9, Indiana. At number 3, Ohio State. A top 10, Big 10 matchup. Who you guys got?
Yeah, like
Ohio State. Sorry, Chance.
Go for it. You're ready.
Ohio State. It says it's a top 10 matchup. They both got numbers that are in the top 10. This is not a top 10 matchup. Ohio State is going to blow the doors off of Indiana. Ohio State, 10. 10.
Ooh, give me 10. I like it, Brandon. Got me all fired up. Yeah, former Vol quarterback Michael Penix Jr., he's having a hell of a year. Sure wish we had him this year. But I think this is where all the Cinderella stops. Ohio State's good. They'll be in the playoff. They'll be in the national title game, I believe. Ohio State with 8 confidence points.
Hey, Brandon.
Yeah.
OH.
IO.
Yes, sir. Ohio State, 10 points. I like what Indiana's done, but...
You had Indiana down.
Ohio State, 10 points.
I was so confused. I thought he was taking Indiana.
Maybe I'm playing mind games with you, Chance.
I'm going to pick... I put my confidence picks in before anybody. They are what they are.
True. I'm also going to go with Ohio State for 10 points. Next game on the menu. LSU at Arkansas.
This might be the game that kind of seals Orgeron's fate, maybe, going into... No, listen.
Listen.
Yes, a year from a national championship. But we all know Ed Orgeron, probably not going to be there forever. They're going to get tired of him. Secondly, all of their sexual allegation stuff involving their players, that's the stuff I'm talking
that
about.
That might seal his fate, but not losing to a better Arkansas.
But you know what, Charlie? If you win and you have that stuff happening off the field, people can look over it. But if you lose to Arkansas and you have that stuff happening off the field and you've been killed by Mississippi State and then they got whooped, a week ago too? Like, that might pile up. You're not winning. Give me Arkansas with 3.
I'll go Arkansas 3 as well, since nobody else wants to make a pick.
Yeah, right.
I will. I'm going with the Hogs. I think Arkansas is just the better team. They're playing at home. LSU is not good. I'll go Hogs with 3.
Charlie? I saw some stuff on Twitter that started scaring me about this pick. People picking LSU and whatever else, but I think Arkansas is the better team by far. I like Arkansas here. Arkansas 8.
I like Arkansas for, I'm going to go Arkansas with 4 confidence points.
I'm sorry, I made quick audible LSU 3. I don't like it when all of you guys pick the same team.
That's totally fair.
That's why I'm doing LSU 3.
Next game up, fate's no longer sealed.
Missouri at South Carolina.
Give me South Kakalaki. 1 point.
Yeah, I think there's kind of this effect when you get an interim coach where it re-injects energy into the program, and I think we're going to see that. I got South Carolina 4.
Yeah, you usually get that. You usually get one game where you kind of get that boost from your interim coach. But I'm going to go with the Tigers. I'm going to go Missouri with 1.
I'm actually going to go South Carolina with 1. I do agree about the whole interim coach thing, and I think that Missouri is perfectly bad enough of a team to get that win against. Last college football game that's not Tennessee, number 14, Oklahoma State, number 18, Oklahoma. Tough one right here.
One of you guys go first this time. Go ahead, Charlie.
Oklahoma, once they started sucking, they've really put it together a little bit more lately. They haven't been playing terrible. I don't know. Oklahoma State just never wins Bedlam, so I'm going to go Oklahoma. How many did I put? 7. I don't like that. 7.
I'm around there with you.
I'm going to go Mike Gundy and them boys. I'm a man. I'm 40, Chubba Hubbard. Give me Oklahoma State with 6.
All right, I got Oklahoma with 6.
I'm going to Oklahoma State.
I don't know why.
I'm going to Oklahoma State 4. Give me Mike Gundy and the mullet.
I want Oklahoma to get just railed. I love Oklahoma State's team this year. But
next game up, NFL, Titans at the Ravens. Big AFC heavyweight fight here.
I know the Titans stopped them before, but I think that the Ravens, they gotta do something to right their season, per se, in this little lull. Give me Ravens 5.
I mean,
both teams are.
Yeah,
in a
both
bit of a
teams
bowl.
Are in that situation.
Yeah, they both need to get out.
That doesn't give the edge to either.
The Titans are not in the playoffs right now. If it ended today,
I was saying the Ravens. All the expectations on them. They should go to the championship. They should be maybe a Super Bowl contender. A little bit more pressure.
There are those
on
same
them.
Expectations for some for the Titans, but
okay, Titan Charlie.
The best way to remedy your awful pass defense is to play Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. This is a nice matchup for the Titans. I think that they can implement that same game plan for last year. They have a mini bye week because of the Thursday night game. And Mike Vrabel's just been really good. Has only lost 1 game. He's 7-1 when he's had 10 or more days to prepare for a game. We're great in the gut check games. Give me Titans 3.
Going with a quick audible here. Changing my Oklahoma State pick to 5.
Like it.
And I will go with the Titans. 4 confidence points. I think they get off the snide this week.
I'm going to go with the Titans with 2 confidence points.
You guys Not all of you should.
Let's keep making our way through real quick. Oh, we should hurry and finish this segment. We'll do Tennessee on the other side to end it. But three more. Green Bay Packers at the Indianapolis Colts.
Go, Pack, go. Sorry, Brandon. Packers offense should be too much for the... I don't think that the Colts can score enough points to keep up with Rodgers.
Devontae Adams. Sir, you're talking about the best defense in the league right now.
The best defense. I'm talking about... I think it should be... Get a little offensive battle.
Yeah, Packers almost lost to the damn Jags. The Colts have a great defense, and they also have 10 days. Give me the Colts shutting down Aaron Rodgers. They're so much better coached.
Okay.
2 points, by the way.
I think this is going to be a really good game. I think it's going to go back and forth. I'm going to go with the Packers, though, with 6.
I came to the conclusion that I really felt good about my pick that the Colts were going to win, and it just ended up getting 7 confidence points. So here we are.
Let's go, Colts, baby.
Next game up, Chiefs at Raiders. I'll let you know right now, I got 8 points with the Chiefs.
I haven't.
Rick,
8 points.
Rick goes first one time, and it's to pick the Chiefs.
Brandon, when's the last time I missed a 10 point?
Like week 2.
It's not going to happen this week either. Chiefs 10.
Okay, fair.
The revenge game for
and
Patrick
look,
Mahomes.
In fairness, the Raiders beat the Chiefs.
I said the revenge game for okay. Mahomes.
You don't beat the Chiefs twice in 1 year. Yeah, I got the Chiefs
exactly
9.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going Chiefs 9 as well. I don't think it's going to be close.
And then last but not least,
nope.
Rams at
nope.
Bucks.
That's Monday Night Football.
Oh, you're right. All right, so that's it. We'll pick that one on Monday. We'll come back on this side, pick Tennessee, Auburn, and close out the show leading into game week. Hey, don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
Hi, I'm Bo Craig.
.11:50, final segment of The Blitz this week as we get you set for Tennessee Auburn tomorrow. Rick had to head out a little bit early, so Brandon, Chance, and Charlie will close out these last few minutes with you. Final segment of the show brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. And as Rick told you earlier, we're already excited about the Auburn game tomorrow, but we're about to make the stakes a little higher because FanDuel is adding to the action with a special Spread the Love line boost. For every 250 fans who bet on Tennessee to cover, FanDuel will move the point spread by 1 point in UT's favor. So as long as we keep betting, the more points Tennessee keeps getting. And best of all, FanDuel will pay you based on whatever the line is at kickoff, so you don't have to wait to get in on the action. So go bet now.
Right now that line is up to +42.5.
Oh, so it's went up some more.
Yeah.
It's went up some more even since we've been on the air.
It was at 39.5 when we started the show.
So get in on that Spread the Love bet from FanDuel. Like I said, every 250 fans who bet on Tennessee to cover, the point spread will go up by 1 point in Tennessee's favor. So keep betting on the
more
game.
More steam.
Get your easy money. So if you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, what are you waiting for? Like Rick was telling you earlier, this is easy money.
This is easy money.
Easy money.
He literally put 50 down, get 50 back. I mean, it's easy.
So you must be 21 years or older and present in the state of Tennessee. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager of $50. Payout issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Terms apply. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Now, we'll pick the Tennessee game. Tennessee at Auburn. What time is kickoff? 7 or 7:30?
We never did confirm that, did I?
I'm
pretty sure it is. You go
7
ahead.
O'clock. 7 o'clock on ESPN tomorrow. Tennessee heads down to the Plains to take on the Auburn Tigers.
23.
Put Rick's pick in first. Rick will pick first.
23rd ranked Auburn Tigers.
Rick has Auburn for 8 points, old Missionary Rick. 30-13.
Old Missionary Rick. 30-13. I'm going to go with Auburn as well. 7 points. Give me 30-27 and a heartbreaker Brent Cimaglia miss.
Oh, why would you make it even more painful?
He's going to miss it. He's going to miss it to go into overtime.
Oh, my goodness. Please, no.
Please, God, no.
No overtime, please.
No, he's going to miss it to go into overtime.
I know. I'm saying no overtime, please. I want no overtime.
Charlie, who you got?
Brandon.
I'm going to go with Auburn. Like I said earlier, for some reason, I feel like Tennessee will hang close in this game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close for whatever reason.
I think it's going to be close for a little while. I think Auburn pulls away at the end. I'm going to go Auburn with 8, 31-17.
I just cannot explain it, but I'm not just picking Tennessee to pick Tennessee this week. I actually think... I don't know why, but I think the Vols are going to win this game, and it doesn't make any sense. But, I mean, I guess Auburn's underwhelming. They should only have, like, 2 wins right now. Yeah, they beat the Tar at LSU, but that's it. They have – I know we haven't actually talked about the game this week, but they have, like, 8 guys missing from COVID this week. They haven't played in almost 3 weeks.
I think Tank Bigsby's going to give us – I think he's going to give us some problems.
And then I look at Bo Nix and – there's nothing about him that scares me. I don't know. I just – if – depending on what happens with the quarterback position, I really think that Tennessee is going to win this game. But I am going to just keep it to 1 point. I'm going to go Tennessee 1 with a 31-27 victory.
All right, quick, around the table. Who do you think starts tomorrow?
Every bit of –
quarterback.
Jerry Garantano. Because he's had the success versus Auburn, and that's what Pruitt's going to be banking on.
I don't think he cares about the success versus Auburn or any of that stuff. I think it's just he just feels like that's the guy that's going to win.
So you say JG too?
You know, I'm going to speak it into existence. Harrison Bailey.
I think Harrison Bailey starts tomorrow too. That's what I'm going to choose to believe.
It's better to live in this world than the other.
Speak it into existence. Give us hope. About to wrap it up, just want to remind you, Russell and the Drive will be out at Food City on Morrell Road with all the Terrapin stuff.
Terrapin swag on swag.
So get out there and see them from 3 to 6. Chance, you got the days?
Yeah, I got the days for us. Like Brandon said, get out there. Get
Does anybody have any?
If you haven't heard.
Go.
Hey, Nashville SC. They host a playoff game tonight in their inaugural season in the MLS playoffs.
Well played, Charlie. I can't walk out the room if I'm about to do the days. Well played. Well played. It's about as bad as Rick's MMA news yesterday. All right, so we got 3 days for the national days of the week. National Absurdity Day. Like that, if you haven't heard, that was so damn absurd. Also, it's National Peanut Butter Fudge. You guys like peanut butter fudge?
Oh, no.
It's the best kind of fudge.
There's no good fudge.
You know what? I feel sorry for people who are allergic to peanuts because, one, you don't get the peanut butter. You don't get the peanut butter fudge. You never can eat Reese's.
Fudge is terrible.
Yeah, that's Rick.
Fudge is terrible.
That's what?
Fudge is not terrible. What's the last one?
That is the worst take I've ever heard you say.
Fudge is the worst.
I am turning off your mic. And it is World Children's Day.
Fudge is terrible.
I just sometimes you.